Let us listen for the word of God as it comes to us through Scripture. Our first reading this morning comes from the book of Acts, chapter 16, verses 16 to 34. Paul and Silas have been in Philippi, preaching and spreading the gospel. And in today's lesson, we hear, "One day, as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners a great deal of money and fortune-telling. When she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, 'These men are slaves of the Most High God who proclaimed to you in a way of salvation.' She kept doing this for many days. But Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, 'I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And the spirit came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them to the marketplace before the authorities. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, 'These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe.' The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. 'Follow these instructions,' he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was an earthquake, so violent that the foundations of the temple were shaken, of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he had supposed the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, 'Do not harm yourself, for we are all here.' The jailer called for lights, and rushing in, fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' They answered, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household.' They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. At the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds, and he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set food before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading comes from the Gospel of John. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word and you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" And Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The Son has a place there forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." This, too, is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Because of this weekend, it's easy to know and sense that if there is one virtue that Americans agree with, it is freedom. Americans can disagree about all other kinds of things, from politics to whether pineapple belongs on pizza, but we all agree that freedom is good. Methodist preacher William Willimon remembers that the words, "And the truth shall make you free," were carved in big letters over his high school entrance. He first thought it was something the principal had made up, along with "no smoking in the boys' room." But later he realized it was from the Bible. The truth will make you free. Unfortunately, people play fast and loose with the truth at times, but we always cling to freedom. When I was in high school, I thought freedom meant getting a driver's license and a car that could take me where I wanted, when I wanted, without my mom driving. Ah, sweet freedom. As a preacher, I cherish the freedom of the pulpit, freedom to speak as I think God is telling me to. But alas, truth is inextricably linked to freedom. Freedom as a teen turned out also to be freedom to pay car insurance and gas costs. And freedom of the pulpit, in truth, far too many preachers use it to repeat in sweet-sounding phrases the cliches of yesterday sweetened by today's pop psychology while avoiding anything that would upset a major giver. Is any of this real freedom? Today's reading from Acts tells a story about people who were in bondage and people who were free. As you listened, could you tell who was free and who remained in bondage? Paul and Silas were going to church one day and were accosted by a slave girl who was possessed by a spirit. Because she could tell fortunes, her owners could make money off of her. And following Paul and Silas, she either wouldn't or couldn't shut up. In her, we see a picture of enslavement to something that darkened her mind. Pardon me, it's pollen seasons and my post-nasal drip is acting up. If you have suffered the torment of mental illness in yourself or a loved one, then you know what it means to be in bondage to something dark and terrible which you are powerless to overcome on your own. But Paul's had enough of these distractions. In the name of Christ, you are cured. Thank God she is now free from the spirit. But she is only partially free because she's still a slave. See, not as a person, but as property, according to her owners, and so in a way is still in bondage. Luke writes, when her owners saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them before the rulers. So, you know, let's hear it for business people whose profit becomes their primary goal. Here in Acts, we saw a young woman chained her whole life by a demonic skewering of her mind. Now made free of that, you'd think there would be rejoicing, but the owners were not free to rejoice. Because this new faith had gotten messed up with their economics. They reacted as vested interests do and threatened with divestment. They, in effect, were in bondage to their money. Now you notice they didn't come right out and say they were upset because their business was threatened. They said, our city is being disturbed by these foreigners, these Jews. And then just in case a sense of civic pride and immigrant bias and anti-Semitism weren't enough, the businessmen add the part about new and contrary customs. They do things that go against the way of Rome. They do things differently than we are used to doing them. Nation, race, and tradition are lined up on behalf of the businessmen, and exaggerated threats to the town were used to arouse anger and short-circuit clear legal thinking, and the mob seized Paul and Silas, having a great old time helping to beat them up and tossing them into jail. Paul and Silas, liberators of the slave girl, have now been imprisoned. In the name of Jesus, a woman was set free, and in the name of the one who said, "The truth will make you free," two apostles are now jailed. So Paul and Silas languish in prison. Actually, no, that's not the way the story goes. They were praying and singing hymn. These chained men were holding a midnight prayer revival. And you might wonder if people really can have the faith to do that. About 45 years ago, I was able in Chicago to hear Bishop Carvalho of the then Marxist country of Angola during a visit to the United States speaking to church groups. He was asked, "What is it to be the church in a Marxist country? Does the government support the church?" His answer was, "No, but we don't ask it to be supportive." There have been tensions. Not long ago, the government decreed that all women's organizations at the church be disbanded. Oh, the women kept on meeting. Not even the government is strong enough to tell church ladies what to do. "Well, what will happen if the government becomes stronger?" he was asked. "We'll keep meeting," said Bishop Carvalho. "The government does what it thinks it needs to do. The church does what God needs it to do. If we have to go to jail for that, we shall go to jail. Jail is a wonderful place for Christian evangelism. Our church made some of its greatest gains during the revolution when so many of us were in jail. You have time there to preach and to teach. Yes, 20 pastors were killed in jail, but in many ways we came out a larger and stronger church." He then added, "Don't worry about the churches in Angola. God is doing fine by us." He goes, "Frankly, I would find it more difficult here in Illinois. Here there are so many things and distractions that look so nice. It must be hard to stay focused on the gospel." Returning now to Paul and Silas, we heard that the earth heaved, the chains fell off, the doors were open, and waking up, the jailer is terrified, because he knows what happens to jailers who let prisoners escape. He prepares to fall upon his sword because he realizes that just having the keys to somebody else's jail cell doesn't make a person free. "Don't do it," Paul shouts. "We're all here singing." The jailer exclaims, "But you were bound in chains and are now free to escape." Paul says, in effect, "No, we prisoners are free to stay, and you, our jailer, are chained to those who gave you the sword. But now you can also be made free." "What must I do to be saved?" he asked, and then he was baptized. I enjoy the twists in this story, because by the end of it, many who had looked free, slave owners, judges, the jailer, were shown to be in bondage to unworthy masters. And those who looked to be captive, the slave girl, Paul and Silas, and in the end, even the jailer, were now freed in another way. Jesus does things like that to people and to our perceptions. There is freedom, and there is freedom. Sounds like one of those bumper stickers you'd scratch your head at. Earlier, Jesus had said, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciple. You will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And the Jewish people listening to Jesus reared back and stiffened their necks and said, "What is this 'will make you free' stuff? We're already the children of Abraham and have never been in bondage." And of course, they lied. They spoke proudly of their freedom, while the foot of Caesar was on their necks, the stain of sin was on their souls, and the tight grip of Pharisaic rule-based religion had numbed the people to the gracious ways of a loving God. And of course, what was most threatening in all the above instances is the truth of sinfulness and all people's bondage to it. We read in this story of the sinfulness of slavery, the sinfulness of grieving over one's purse instead of celebrating the cure of a child of God, sinfulness of mob action prompted by racist and anti-Semitic language, the sinfulness of imprisoning those who do good, and the sinfulness of mouthing words of a national or religious heritage that had lost sight of its God and its purpose. All that back then. And whether or not those particular sins afflict us, this sinfulness still affects us all, and none of us like to have sinfulness revealed. But until it is brought to light, the truth of Christ's grace cannot set us free. Jesus said, "If the Son makes you free, you will be free." Perhaps the question for this Independence Day weekend is, are you free? Amen.